Okay, the Ofanim, we're going to start with our first passage out of 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 30. Some of these we read already. This one in particular we read. We're not going to go through it as we did before. We'll just turn back to it for reference point. But this, if you'll remember, is where the carts were being made. The carts and the lavers. Where in verse 30, every cart had four bronze ofanim and axles of bronze, and its 4 feet had supports. Under the laver were supports of cast bronze beside each wreath. Okay? Please go to Proverbs chapter 20. Hebrew we call Proverbs Mishle. Now, this is not for sure an ofan in the sense of an angel. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 26. A wise king sifts out the wicked and brings the threshing ofan over them. The word threshing, by the way, is not in there. It just says brings the ofan over them. Okay, Yehezkel. Chapter 1. Yehezkel in chapter 1. And what we'll do is we're just going to hit the verses that deal with the ofanim in particular. Yehezkel chapter 1, verse 15. Now as I looked at the chayot, behold, an ofan was on the earth beside each living chaya with its four faces. Verse 16, the appearance of the ofanim and their works was like the color of beryl, and all four had the same likeness. The appearance of their works was, as it were, an ofan in the middle of an ofan. Verse 19, when the living hayot went, the ofanim went beside them, and when the hayot were lifted up from the earth, the ofanim were lifted up. Verse 20, wherever the spirit wanted to go, they went, because there the spirits went, and the ofanim were lifted together with them, for the spirit of the hayot was in the ofanim. Verse 21, when those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the ofanim were lifted up together with them, for the spirit of the living hayot was in the ofanim. Chapter 3, verse 13. I also heard the noise of the wings of the hayot that touched one another, and the noise of the ofanim beside them, and a great thunderous noise. Chapter 10, verse 6. Now it happened when he commanded the man clothed in linen, saying, take fire from among the ofanim, from among the cherubim, that he went in and stood beside the ofanim. Verse 9. And when I looked, there were four ofanim by the kerubim, one ofan by one kerub, and another ofan by each other kerub. The ofanim appeared to have the color of a beryl stone.
Jim, what color is beryl?
Kind of like a copper or brownish color, I believe.
Oh, Tarshish?
Tarshish? What color is Tarshish? Okay. What was referred back to? Okay. Tarshish? Okay, verse... Yep. Okay, verse 10. As for their appearance, all four looked alike, as it were, an ofan in the middle of an ofan. Verse 12. And their whole body with their back, their hands, their wings, and the ofanim that the four had were full of eyes all around. Verse 13, as for the ofanim, they were called in my hearing, ofan. Verse 16, when the cherubim went, the ofanim went beside them, and when the cherubim lifted their wings to mount up from the earth, the same ofanim also did not turn from beside them. Verse 19, and the cherubim lifted their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the ofanim were beside them, and they stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory or the kavod of the God of Israel was above them. Chapter 11, verse 22. Then the cherubim lifted up their wings with the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was high above them. Please go to Daniel chapter 7.
back in Hezekiah's time, did they, would they have understood what he was saying, the people around him? Would they, the general audience, would they have understood what he was saying?
No, no. It would not have been understood by the general audience. It would have been the vision of God. And they would have understood that, and that it exceeded anything that they could understand. But as far as, would they do better than us? Probably. Much better? Probably not.
They didn't believe in drawings? I mean, Ezekiel, it would be if he just drew a drawing and said, this is what I saw. Right?
Yes, but that's not going to happen. Yeah. Okay, Daniel chapter 7.
Are you going to bring this back? You're going to bring this back around to the upper there?
Yes. Yeah, well, in fact, I got some material here from that study with me. Glenn, do you have a Tanakh? Anybody bring a Tanakh? I went off without one tonight. You have a Tanakh? Can you turn to Daniel chapter 7 for me? And I'll read the verse. Okay, Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. I watched till thrones were put in place. And the Ancient of Days was seated, his garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. Okay, where you have... Okay, the word that you have here is okay, it's Gagil Ohi. Okay, G-A-L hyphen G-I-L-O-H-I. It's like Gilgal, yeah. Gal in Hebrew means a circle. Mm-hmm. Okay. But it's a different word, but meaning apparently the same thing. Okay, now. I want you to take notes. Take good notes. Take them fast and furious.
One question about...
Nobody has one question. That's like the Ruffles potato chip commercial, all right? Okay, go ahead.
The circular nature, is there anything to that?
Of course.
Because of the nature of...
Yes, of course.
Okay.
It goes round and around, okay? The crew. It's the title of the article, Encyclopedia Judaica. The advantages of these articles is that they're fairly short, but they give us some very quick descriptions and comparisons. Okay? So, Karuv. It gives a definition. I won't write this down. A winged celestial being which appears in the Bible in several different guises. Okay, here they go. Number one, we have the Karuv in the Garden of Eden. But put this, his job was to guard the way to the tree of life. The second one, is the parable of the king of Tyre. Ezekiel 28, what we read tonight.
Parable was their interpretation. It may not.
Right. That's correct. That it might not be seen as a parable, but it was at least listed that way there. Okay, number three. Two wooden images of cherubim overlaid with gold facing one another at the two ends of the covering above the ark in the tabernacle. Let me repeat that. Write this description down. Two wooden images of cherubim overlaid with gold, facing one another on the two ends of the covering above the ark in the tabernacle. That is incorrect. What's incorrect about it? No, there was no wood in those. They're made of a solid piece of gold. They're not overlaid with wood. It's made of a solid piece of gold on the copperette. So the article is wrong here.
Joe, would that have been Penuel? The one that they call Penuel? More than likely.
Who's that?
One of the angels, Michael, Gabriel, Penuel. And
yeah, Penuel and Raphael.
Would that have been the one seen as Penuel? Penuel being face in Hebrew? Or from the word face?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe so. You know that the place Peniel, the face of God, okay, the place that Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, same root, the Lechem HaPanim, okay, so face being the root word there. Okay, now write these passages. Oh, wait. They form the throne of God with their outstretched wings. That's Exodus 25, verses 18 through 20. Exodus 37, verses 7 through 9.
Joe, wouldn't that support the wing, one going this way and one this way then?
No. That, we're talking about the ones on the top of the copperette. And we'll have to get in and define that. We're going to have them facing different ways, their wings doing different things. Okay, now, the one you were just talking about, Glenn, is coming up. They're the counterparts of the two cherubim, 10 cubits high, 10 cubits from the tip of one wing to the tip of the other, found in the Holy of Holies, the Devir, D-E-V-I-R, of Solomon's temple. Okay, and the role of the cherubim is alluded to in several biblical passages where God is spoken of as he who sits enthroned upon the cherubim. 1 Samuel 4:4. 2 Samuel 6:2. 2 Kings 19:15. Isaiah 37, verse 16. Psalm 80, verse 2. Psalm 99, verse 1. Remember, Psalm 80, verse 2 is 81, 80 verse 1 in your Bible. All right, number 4. In 2 Samuel 22:11. In Psalms 18:11, a cherub, perhaps a personified wind, serving the Lord somewhat as a Pegasus.
The Ruach also?
It's not in the sense of like Holy Spirit, but in the sense of a Ruach, a literal wind. Okay, he mounted a cherub and flew, which is how it's referred to in Psalm 18:11 and Psalm 22, or 2 Samuel 22:11. He mounted a cherub and flew. In Ezekiel's vision of the chariot throne, chapter 1, the expanse in which the throne reposes appears to be supported by four strange composite creatures. Do y'all hear it go quiet? It's a loud air conditioner. Okay, the expanse in which the throne reposes appears to be supported by four strange composite creatures, which chapter 10 identifies as cherubim. Now, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 18, if we can turn there. This is where that you have and refined gold by weight for the altar of incense, for the construction of the Merkavah, that is the gold kerubim that spread their wings and overshadowed the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Okay, number five. The figures of the kerubim were also appropriated for cultic symbolism. They were used for decorative purposes. A. Embroidered on the veil separating the holy place from the most holy. Your passages. Exodus 26:31 and 36:35.
So what is it called, cultic
symbolism? Okay, cultic used here simply means an order of worship. Nothing more.
Now why would that not be against the law?
Okay, I got asked this last week. The main thing is, only answer we can give is God's the boss, and He. That's right. It's and.
We're not.
Yeah.
What's the passage in Second Chronicles?
Second Chronicles, or First Chronicles, 28:18. Okay. Have you got that there is the veil separating the holy place from the most holy?
No.
Embroidered on the veil separating the holy place from the most holy. And on the curtains of the tabernacle. Exodus 26:1 and 36:8. B. Carved on all the inner and outer walls, 1 Kings 6:29. The doors of the inner and outer sanctuary, 1 Kings 6:32-35.
Then the people would have been able to see this, the outer, on the outer doors.
On the outer doors. And the panels of Solomon's temple, in 1 Kings 7:29-36.
So even if there was a document, I mean, the people wouldn't have drawn it because of the, it says make not an image of anything. So even though they could see this image on the door, they wouldn't have replicated it.
That's right. The people would not make a replica of the Kerub. Okay, C. Carved on the walls and doors of the temple, envisioned by Ezekiel, chapter 41, verses 18 to 20, and verse 25. Okay, now, I want to read a letter to you, because I might forget to bring this next week. But if you'll remember last session in talking about the kerubim, we looked at a little bit concerning the construction of the curtains in the Mishkan and how that you had four colors, six filaments to each thread. Each thread actually consisted of 24 filaments, okay, which relates to the 24 mishmorot, divisions of the priests, the 24 Babay Av, the divisions of the Levites, and the 24 districts of Israel. Okay, now, we will be bringing out that the thickness of these curtains and the veils. They're very thick. And these are woven continuously all the way through. So if you could picture, I'm not trying to say that they were this wide, approximately 6 inches thick. I don't remember what the thickness is. We'll have to look at it. But if you could picture that it is woven all the way through in design, that it is not just embroidered on the outside, but woven all the way through. And so on one side, you're going to have one of the four faces, and on the other side of the veil, you have another of the four faces. In the middle here, which is very hard, it's very complex, you have the other two faces. You're not able to see them because they are in the thickness of the veil itself. Okay, now, We got a letter. This man has sent us several things that have been very, very interesting. Do you remember that when we brought the information about that the certain types of pigeons and doves produce a milk? It is actually scientifically a milk that they produce, which means that all of the various animals that are used in the temple for sacrifice are milk-producing animals. Now, this man raises pigeons, and that I am correct, Daryl, that he is the one that sent us that information, right? Okay, well, he sent us another letter that we found fascinating. He lives in Michigan, and it's dated February 20th, 1997. Dear Joe, I am in the process of listening to the Havara tapes for January and reached the point where you are describing the veil. I have seen such a woven pattern. I was born in Scotland and immigrated to the United States and go to Scotland on vacation and mainly spend my time at historical sites. In Falkland Palace in Fife, Scotland, there is a tapestry hanging on a hallway. It is approximately 10 foot high by 50 foot long. As we went to walk along the hallway, the guide told us to watch the changes in the tapestry as we proceeded through the hall. Basically, the tapestry represented the exotic gardens around Falkland Palace. There were peacocks on the ground, leopards hanging in trees, lions in a pride, etc. As you walked from left to right down the hallway, all the animals were looking at you as you approached every animal. Its body posture changed. The peacock fanned its tail. The leopard clawed at you. The lions growled at you and appeared ready to charge you. The snake coiled and hissed at you, etc. As you walked past each animal and were to the right of it, the posture returned to one of relaxation. At no point down the hallway did the animal's eye or head fail to follow you. Falkland Palace was the hunting lodge of the Stuart family, the most famous Mary, Queen of Scots, and her son James, the sixth of Scotland, first of England. He is the James of the King James Bible. The artists who were responsible for the tapestry were Flemish, French, Belgium, whom Mary brought from France with her. The most famous tapestry is known as the Bayeux tapestry. Is it bio? Which is long and describes William the Conqueror, invasion of England in 1066. This is also French. I think the scenes in that one is flat. Could it be that the French brought Jews back from the Crusades, or was it the resident French Jews who did this type of weaving? I know that a lot of people think you are in Never Never Land in some of your research, but I don't, as I've seen what you described. Yours in the Lord, Bob Whalen. P.S. The only way to describe this tapestry was living or alive. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Never Never Land. Okay. And we, y'all are there too. You ate cake tonight for 3 years here with me. Okay. Don't give me Never Never Land. I mean, that's just as much y'all now. All right. A description. The Bible itself contains variant descriptions of the cherubim. I'll say that again. The two cherubim in the tabernacle in Solomon's temple have two wings apiece. Write these down. The ones in the tabernacle and in Solomon's temple have two wings apiece. Exodus 25:20 and 1 Kings 6, verse 24 and 27. And one face. Exodus 25, verse 20. However, in the chariot division of Yehezkel, the symmetry of four predominates. Each of the four cherubim had four wings and four faces. That's verse 1, Ezekiel 1, 6. Two of their wings spread out above, touch one another, and the other two cover their bodies. The descriptions of the seraphim in Isaiah 6:2, each had six wings, with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, in other words, the lower extremities, and with two he flew. Their four faces included one of a man, probably in front. Please remember that. The man is in front. A lion on the right side, an ox on the left side, and an eagle, which would be to the rear. Okay? Man in front, ox, a lion to the right, ox to the left, and an eagle to the rear. That's Yehezkel chapter 1, verse 10. Okay, later, Yehezkel includes the face of a cherub among the four faces and omits that of the ox. Chapter 10, verse 14, which we commented on. The cherubim, moreover, write these descriptions down, have legs. Each one's feet were like a cast foot. And their feet, and they sparkled like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on the four sides, they had human hands. That's in Ezekiel 1, verses 7 through 8.
It's not like a little hand. Most people, if they hear that, they think it's just a hand. Because the word in Hebrew is hand goes all the way up.
Yeah, it goes all the way to the shoulder. Okay. Okay. Now, in the temple vision of Ezekiel, the cherubim engraved on the walls and doors are said to have only two faces, a man's face and a lion's face. That's chapter 41, verses 18 to 19. Yeah, that was in Ezekiel, chapter 41, verse 18 to 19. Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit of the etymology of the word. A little bit. You'll find this interesting. Let me read you this statement here. It says, the etymology of the Hebrew word for cherub has been subject to several different explanations. Okay, I can't pronounce this word. Metathesis? M-E-T-A-T-H-E-S-I-S? Metathesis, is that right? Do you know what that is? It says R, inversion of letters. The root of Merkavah is Rekuv, which is an inversion of cherub.
Is that same letters?
Same letters. Same letters. That's heavy, isn't it? The word rekuv is used in Psalm 104, verse 3. And get this, it's used in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 11. That's where he saw. That's his vision. It's also in Psalm 18, verse 11. There's a possibility that it's a derivation of the Aramaic word karov, K-A-R-O-V, which means to plow. Which, one of the theories the rabbis had, was that it was based on Ezekiel's substitution of the face of a karov for that of an ox, whose main function is to plow. From the Akkadian language, we have a word, karibu, K-A-R-I-B-U, which is from a root word, karibu, K-A-R-A-B-U, which means to pray or to bless. An intercessor who brings the prayers of humans to the gods. Figures of winged creatures are well known from the art and religious symbolism of the ancient Near East. Two winged beings flank the throne of Hiram king of Byblos, and winged bulls were placed at the entrance of the Babylonian and Assyrian palaces and temples. They appear on the pottery incense altars from Tanakh and Megiddo. Winged sphinxes, griffins, and human creatures are represented in the art and iconography of Carchemish, Kala, Nimrud, the Sumerian ivories, Aleppo, and Tel Halah.